We're very thankful this afternoon to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored guest to be a part of our call. We believe that the Bible is right and every word of the Bible is right. To be saved, you must believe Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross and shed his blood and washed his sins away in baptism. And that same blood purchases church's bride and bride, the Church of Christ, the only one you'll read about in the Bible. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. The Bible says saved or in the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. So we're thankful to have you with us this afternoon. And we also appreciate those of our brothers and sisters who may be joining us for this afternoon service. Pray you would enjoy yourself as well. Now, let's open your Bible to Exodus chapter 15. We're continuing the study of, I've been doing some studies in the Old Testament, and this is a little bit about Moses. We've done that a couple weeks now. And this morning, we're picking up from where we left off on this morning's lesson. Hopefully, you enjoyed that study as well. I'm hoping this lesson, this afternoon, this portion of this text will help us look at ourselves and how God can send us through different tests to prove our faith, or test our trust in him. This afternoon, we're continuing to study where Moses, Miriam and the Israelites, they just finished singing this song after being delivered from Egyptian bondage across the Red Sea on a journey now. Moses has led them from that crossing into the desert. They go there for 3 days. They've been traveling for 3 days without finding water. Let's listen to the text, and I'll come back and make some application for your consideration this afternoon for a few minutes. In verse 22, the Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, thy God, will thou and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. All right, here we go. Imagine traveling on foot and going for 3 days into the wilderness. 3 days without a drink of water. This was a life-threatening situation. And finally they came to some water. And being extremely thirsty, their hopes are immediately destroyed when they taste the bitterness of the water. This water was undrinkable. So they named the place Marah, which means bitterness. Imagine literally dying of thirst, finding the water, and then discovering that water was no good. It's bitter. They couldn't drink it. They needed it for their life. They needed to save their life. They needed to drink this water. Now, when the Israelites came to this bitter water, they did what probably most of us would have done. We said, man, we out here without no water. What are we going to do? But they grumbled, the Bible says, against Moses. Now, remember, these are the same people who stood there and saw. They saw with their own eyes the power of God. They saw when Moses told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. They seen that sea. They saw, they had to hear the winds and witness the parting of the Red Sea. And the Bible teaches us that these people seen this deliverance by God. But yet, when it came to just a simple drink of water, the Bible records that they start to grumble against Moses. And it's Exodus 14:30. You go back up there. After they got across, the Bible says, "Does the Lord save Israel that day?" And this was out of the hands of Egyptians, because this was physical death. If Pharaoh would have caught him in his army, they were facing physical death there. And Israel, look what the word said. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw, there it is again, that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Notice what else? And his servant Moses. Moses told them it was going to be okay. Then it came to be okay. Now they get out of here. They start singing the song of deliverance, and they're giving God the credit through the singing and all that. But when it comes to this water, they're so thirsty. They start to grumble, the Bible says. They were grumbling. Same thing as murmuring. They murmured, the Bible says, and the people murmured against Moses. What are they doing? They're murmuring. Complain against Moses. They're blaming Moses because there's no water that's drinkable at this place. People murmuring after God had done such great deliverance for them, and now they're murmuring. Think about that. Think about that. Only 3 days later, after singing the song of deliverance, the Bible then tells us about the mindset of these people. Are you a murmurer? How do God view murmurers? People who forget, as I was talking about this morning, about the deliverance and how God has done so many blessed things, so many blessings that come your way. Yet, you murmur about something because it's not going your way. Think about this. Is this okay to be a murmurer? I think most of us who've been in church long enough to know this is against the will of God for men and women, for his children to be murmurers or complainers, constant complaining. That's what that word means, murmuring, a primitive root to stop, to, by implication, to stay permanently in this state of mind, to complain, to continue their way, to stay focused on that. So what happens in this case? What happens in the case where these people murmur? Why did God allow this all to happen? So I'm sure most of us are guilty at some point of being murmurers, but that don't mean we have to continue. Moses, in turn, when they did it against him, but Moses, in turn, cried out to God. Moses knew he wasn't the answer. And all of us know we are not the answer when it comes to problems in life. God has the answers to all problems. But God showed Moses a piece of wood, which Moses threw into the water. And immediately that water, a tree, was that made that water sweet, and the Israelites were able to drink. And then this was something God could only do. Moses didn't have the power to do that. But God was working through Moses. Moses then led them from that place to another place called Elim, which had 12 springs, plenty of water, and 70 palm trees, a peaceful place. After all this murmuring, Moses moved them to another location. Now, I'm going to kind of walk us through the journey. I want to get to the points I want to make here. The story is about a journey. They're on their way to the promised land. We're on our way on a journey to the promised land. This story is about the journey from Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. Now from Marah, where the bitter water was, turned sweet to another place with even more abundance of water. From Marah to Elam, from bitter water to 12 springs of water. This journey takes, I want to look at it from two angles this afternoon, just for some minutes. External, it was an external situation, external consequences, external extenuating circumstances. When you have a thirst with no water, it's external. Everybody knows this case. And then there's another internal issue going on here with the people. The external journey is obvious. Moses and company and the Israelites find themselves in a very, I'll use, bitter situation. They had been in 3 days in the desert without coming up with a source of water. And the water they got to finally was undrinkable. So their death is threatening them. So these people cried out to Moses. Moses can't cry out to God. And God responds to Moses with a plan to make the bitter water sweet, to revive them, to get ready for the next part of the journey. Now, this is another revelation here, revealing God, revealing his power. And the importance of having trust in God in any bitter situation. I'm playing on that word, bitter, in a different way. It's a bitter situation. And we all get in bitter situations in life. But the message for me is clear. And the message, hopefully it'll be clear for you. The message is clear that God had a reason for doing what he did. And whatever the obstacles that are bitter in our life, that we encounter in our life's journey, we got to know that we can count on God to have a plan that will work out to our good. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. How could good come out of these people's members? Well, they had to have a lesson. See, look at verse 27. God leads them to Elam with plenty of water. See, God cannot give us. But God is able to come up with a plan no matter what our situations are, no matter how bitter the situations are. When we cry our sorrows, our bitter situations to God, God is able to sweeten. Why did God sweeten? Because Moses cried out to God. Not the people, God. Moses did. And he called out to God, and God did, made water drinkable. Turn them into a resource they would have for the next leg of the journey. Now, God is bigger than any borrow in our life. He's bigger than any bitter situation you are. As Christians, we're talking about faith. We're talking about faith this evening, this afternoon, and trust that God is bigger than your bitter situation. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but we all face external bitterness and external problems in our lives. Bitterness can come from all kind of things that you're going through, all kind of situations with your health, situations with your life, situations with your family, situations with your children. I mean, the list goes on and on. Situations in relationships and marriages, situations at the congregation that we're at. You know, you can have situational things that are going to be external tests for us of who we trust in. Who did these people trust in? Why had they put their trust in God after all they had seen? See, it's just like us. We all have seen God deliver us. We have seen God work in our lives. We have seen God make changes. We have seen God respond to our prayers. We've seen the Lord bless us in so many special ways. And then, since something is not going right, here we go. Murmuring. Complaining. Show me a scripture where it's okay to complain. It's not in it. It's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. I'll give you that. It's not in the Bible. It's not okay to be a murmur. It's not okay to be a complainer. It is okay to make things better, to help make it better. Our situation should be that we're there to make things better, to improve or whatever we're trying to improve, to build unity and love and promote that among Christians, among family. However, those external things are going to happen in everybody's life. All of us got something going on that we can say is a bitter situation or have been a bitter situation or could be a bitter situation. And thank God for the Bible class this morning, the Bible class Wednesday, on the difference between concern and worry. If you haven't been able to join us in those lessons, we encourage you to, because Brother Stroud is doing a good job with that. But my point is that the second thing I want to point out, like, when a person murmurs a lot, there's an internal issue. Internal bitterness, which is not as obvious until they open their mouth. External, they didn't, it wasn't obvious to Moses until they came to him with the complaint. That told him, and it tells, what speaks from your mouth comes from your heart, meaning your mind. So God knew. He knew the people had an internal issue in their life. Now the question is, do you? But God showed him a tree. He told Moses, okay, go ahead and throw it. Moses showed the tree. And then Moses took the tree and threw it in the water. Verse 25. He cried to the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue. There was a purpose for this. Now God's going to say, okay, throw the tree in the water. And then make a statue or ordinance. And notice what it says at the end of that verse. And there he proved to them. He proved them. When Moses threw that tree in the bitter water, the water became sweet. Don't miss the lesson this afternoon. The bitter waters of Marah revealed the bitterness that lodged in the hearts of those Israelites. Notice they murmured against Moses while Moses cried out to God. The external obstacle revealed was water and thirst. Everybody knew it. But what was revealed to God was the internal realities of the Israelites' hearts. God knows our hearts. Don't think that God don't know the bitter hearts that people have. Moses trusted God and cried to God, and God took care of the problem. The Israelites, on their hand, demonstrated lack of trust in God as they murmured against themselves and Moses, against Moses. What becomes evident in the face of Marah, the bitter water, is that the Israelites needed deliverance from more than just the possible physical death of Pharaoh could bring on. No. They needed deliverance from grumbling, murmuring, bitter attitudes, bitterness in themselves. And God is setting up a law to bring about to deliver us from their bitter hearts. Sometimes God sends us through things because we are not hard, you know, we have heart problems. But Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, watch this, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Murmur and stuff like that grieves the Spirit. And then he says this, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Then he said, here's how he said deal with something. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, He lifts your honor for Christ's sake. I'm giving you. Bitterness hinders you being able to love. Bitterness hinders you from being tenderhearted. Bitterness hinders you from forgiving others. You got to put that away. The Israelites had to learn a lesson here. Right then and there, after God sweetened the water with truth, God came back with a law. He gave a command and gave a law for them. And there he tested him. He tested. In verse 25, he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he cast into the water. The water remained sweet. There he made for the stem. Notice, a statue and an ordinance. And there he proved, that word proved me, testing him, and saying, conditional. If, now watch this, and this is something we got to understand, that if we do what the Lord says, everything will be all right. But if we don't, there's some things going to happen. He said, if thou will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord our God, will do that which is right in his sight, will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, God said, I will put none of these diseases upon them, which I have brought out of Egypt, out of Egyptian, brought upon the Egyptian. For I am the Lord. Notice what he said. That healing thing. See, they needed spiritual healing. And people who have bitter hearts, that are bitter for whatever reason, they need healing. They need spiritual healing. But God said, God had brought all these plagues upon them, the frogs and the blood, the water that was turning to blood and the locusts and all those things. You go back and read Exodus, all the things he brought upon them, the death of the firstborn, all these diseases that came upon them. And God said, y'all know what I did to the Egyptians. And you got out here, and you got bitter. You got bitter water. And that's external, but your heart is bitter too. Something's going on here. But God said, there's a lesson. You need to know that if you want me to take care of you, you got to hearken to the voice of the Lord. Do what is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments. Keep all his statutes. And God said, I'll heal you. I'll take care of you. I won't let these diseases come upon you. So God is basically telling them, teaching them. And it's going to happen again and again and again, because they're going to keep murmuring. Even to the point, it's just going to upset Moses later on, where he was just starting hitting the rock, where God told him to speak to him. But this is the beginning of it. He says, but God is basically telling them, and the lesson for us is that we have to listen carefully to the voice of God and do what pleases him and make sure we don't get caught up trying to please ourselves. If you pay attention to his commands and keep his decrees, his laws, which we know as a New Testament for us, to follow the law of God, be faithful to God, God will heal us of spiritual sicknesses. This text makes it plain that the emphasis is on the need for the Israelites to have a focus on God, have be God-centered in their thinking and in their living. In Egypt, Pharaoh was their center of focus. But God said, I brought you out there. And God, when we obey the gospel, God has delivered us from this bondage of sin. And he wants us to change our way of thinking. The testing for the Israelites was the purpose of teaching them. First, letting them know that God had revealed their hearts in order that their hearts might be changed where needed. The test would prove, when God proved that God was still on the throne and he was in control, and it proved that Moses was focused on God being the answer, but Israel was not. And this was a training exercise for Israel, designed to bend their bitter, murmuring hearts and to change the view of what happens when you're in need. How did this bitter water become sweet? A tree. Who done that? Only God can take a tree and put in water. The answer is God did it, and God did it to a man who followed his instructions. How did the bitter water become sweet? God to give up the tree. Who gave the tree? God. How do one of us become God-centered and remove bitterness from our heart? Start focusing on God and not on what you're upset about. The answer is keeping God's commandment. Knowing God can heal any situation. God told them, I'm the healer. God is the one who can heal the hearts of sin-sick people. This stuff, murmuring, complaining, and all this, is a sickness. It's a sin-sickness. It is just like worrying is a sin when you worry over and over and over and don't have no trust or faith in God. Sure, we all grow. We all should grow. You got to grow by letting the Word of God guide you in your growth. And that's what Israel needed at the time, and we all need it too. The bitter waters of the heart has to be transformed. The bitter waters of the heart has to be changed, has to be renewed by the Word of God. It's the Word of God. When we add God's Word to our heart that we might not see it, our faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. Piercing even the body, the soul, the soul, the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How do I change my way of thinking, Brother Bruce? How do you do that? What is it? Remember what grieves the spirit when we don't obey the spirit. Galatians chapter 5, Paul told the Galatians in verse 16. And in this I say it is, walk in the spirit. Well, I work in the spirit. That means the spirit gave us the scripture. When we follow the scripture, there are instructions in it. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's what the scripture is for. Knowing this spurs no prophecy of the scripture of any private interpretation, Peter said. For the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, and they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:20-21. What are you saying? We got scripture. God gave them law. We have law. If we want to be the best Christian we're going to be, and we want to be free of murmuring, complaining, and stuff like that, all the other list of things that go along with it that Paul's getting ready to talk about. Paul says, this I say to you, here's how you do it. Walk in the Spirit. It's also called walking in the light. Following the Word of God, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Why? The lust, flesh lusts against the Spirit. And against the flesh. They are contrary. They are totally opposite to one another. So you cannot do the things that you would. But, he said, verse 18, but if you be led, if you be led by the Spirit of God, you are not under the law. Now, here it is. The works of the flesh are manifest in these. Adultery, fornication, cleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variances, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling. And here's the rest of it. Where's all this other stuff all out? Such like. Such a list could have went on. Anything that looked like other stuff. Now here's what he says. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in past time past, they would do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God. We can't get to heaven unless we work on our hearts. But then he comes back. Here's what the Spirit can do for you. The fruit of the Spirit will produce this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, control, self-control, state of meekness, being good, being gentle, being long-suffering, being a peacemaker, filled with love, and filled with joy. This is what Brother Michael Foreman taught us about. Peacemakers, that's what we are. We're to be at peace, working toward our soul salvation, not only for ourselves, for anyone that we come around. Paul said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with our affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, conditionally, just like Moses, the command was given to the Israelite. If God leaves the decision to us, it's our choice. It was Israelites' choice to follow God's commands. But we'll find out that many of them didn't. We'll find out that many of them did. And it should not surprise us when we see Christians who don't live by the Spirit. Paul said, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You can't walk in the Spirit if you don't live in the Spirit. But let this God in your life. Let us also be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. Envy. Let us not be desirous. Excuse me. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another. Envy one another. So there it is in the New Testament as well. So as I close, notice. God does not say, I am God who heals the water. He didn't say that. His emphasis was on the water. His emphasis was on them. I am the one who will heal you. I am the one to keep these diseases from coming up on you. In verse 26, he put his emphasis not on the bitter water, but on the hearts of the people. It is the internal journey that we all are on, that we have to search our hearts. Bitter waters of man. Understand this. When you're with God and you do God's way, there are 12 springs of healing. God cannot bless you. He can give you abundance of blessings if you only do his word. He said, if you keep my word, if you hearken to my voice, if you just do what's right in my sight, I will give, if you would just give ear to my command, and keep all my statutes. God said, I won't put none of these diseases upon you. I'm the one that's going to heal you. So, maybe the test of life for all of us, sometimes we have to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I'm not doing what the Lord has told me to do. The test of life, sometimes you get in bitter situations, can bend you back toward God. Towards Jesus. And I pray we can open ourselves up to look at the man in the mirror. And the mirror is the Word of God. And let the Word of God describe you. Let it transform you. Let it change your way of thinking. Let the Word of God give you spiritual healing. By the grace of God, we are all on a journey. We're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to make heaven our home. But there are going to be external things that are going to happen all around us. But internally, your response should be, God is able. God will get us through. God will see us through. Let's don't complain. Let's don't murmur. Let's trust God that he'll get us to the promised land. If life is bitter for you right now, maybe, just maybe, God is proving you, testing you. See, for your bitter to turn to sweet, as I call it, it's going to take the tree of the cross. The sweet, the bitter waters of sin. Paul said in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Jesus, God used a tree. When they hung Jesus on the tree. And on that tree, on that cross, after Jesus had been beaten, I'm wearing a crown of thorns. 6 hours on a tree. And that tree would turn our bitter sins to sweet. Turn the bitter waters of sin. He died for our sins according to the scripture. He turned bitter to speak. Because if we die in our sins, where he was, he cannot come. That's what he said. That means we couldn't get to heaven. So God used a tree for Israel for their spiritual healing to send a message to them that I got a law. I'm your healer. Just do what I ask you to do. And that's what they needed to do. And that was the lesson then. And the lesson today for those who may be listening. If you are not a Christian, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're drinking the bitter waters of sin. There's no help there. There's no salvation in it. You're going to die. You're going to die like that unless you make a change. And so what's changed, said Brother Brooks, hear about the tree of the cross. Hear how God so loved you that he gave his son. And his son hung on that tree. He hung on that tree of the cross to give you a better life. And there is an Eden coming. There's a place called heaven where God will be there. And he'll wipe away all tears from your eyes. They had all the abundance of water once they got to Eden. But they had to learn a lesson and admire. If you were to call today and you're not a Christian, when you going to learn a lesson? Maybe you're going through some things right now. You're going through some things in your life. Maybe you're going through some things in your marriage, in your home. Going through some things on your job, going through some things financially, dealing with issues in your health, and you need the Lord, but you haven't obeyed him. You got to obey the Lord. So how do I obey God, Brother Bruce? How do I obey God? I want my bitter to be turned to sweet. You hear the gospel, the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, knowing that he died for your sins according to the scripture, that he was buried and rose again on Thursday according to the scripture. He's your Redeemer. You believe that he rose? He got up with all power. He gave a command. As Jesus, God gave a command to Israelite. God gave Jesus gave a command to us after hanging on that tree. What did he say? Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it in his baptized shall be saved. Matthew 28:18, he said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What did he say? He hung on the tree. He had to go to the tree first. The tree had to get them. The tree had to get them to thinking about God. And the tree of the cross can get you to thinking how good God has been, how much he loves you. Do you believe it with all of your heart? Are you willing to repent of your sins on this call right now? Say, Lord, I don't want to leave like this. I need my bitter to return to sweet. Then repent. Jesus said, I'll tell you that. But if you accept your repent, you're going to perish. That's bitter to perish. And then you must confess that before me and you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, step forward. And after that, you must be baptized for remission or forgiveness of your sins as commanded by the Lord. And oh, but God told Israel, if you listen, if you do what I tell you, none of these diseases will come upon you. If you keep my statute, if you keep my commandments, baptism is a command. And then the Lord will add you to the church. And in the church, we're commanded to live by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to follow the laws of God, that we too can be saved and others can be saved as well. You believe that? The Lord will add you to the church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. If you're on this call, what we want you to do is hit 5-star on your phone. He said, Brother Brooks, my bitterness needs to be turned to sweet. I encourage you to hit 5-star on your phone. And God is there for you. He's going to be there. I can hear him calling. Can you hear your Savior calling? He's calling. Come to me. All you labor and heaven land. And I'll give you rest. Jesus is calling. What you must do, Brother Brooks, what must I do? Prepare. Prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet him. Because one day, one day, old day, if it ain't today, God going to call your name of death. As the Hebrew writer says, Jesus said, Hebrew writer said, it's appointed unto man once and not even now, 27. Jesus said, the bitter part of this is that if you die in your sins, why am I can't come? So you got to be baptized. And then you got to live faithful. Once you get into the church, you got to live to the members of the church, those who are Christians. Remember the lesson of Mara, the bitterness, and the people needed a change of heart. Sometimes we do that. I said, what do we do to get out of life, right, Brother Brooke? With, what do we do as Christians? Well, we confess our fault. Ask God to forgive you. Move on and start living a good life. Stop being bitter. Stop complaining. Go ahead and trust God. He sees you through this part. He's going to see you through. There's 70 palm trees out there. There are 12 springs of water. But we got to do what God said. We got to do it His way. If you need help, make a confession. If you need prayer, we know we got recent loved ones. Recent members have lost loved ones. Me and they are going through a lot of different things. This evening, let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. We're getting ready to sing the song of encouragement. Hit 5-star on your phone, and we'll respond to your request.